Destroy! 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 Company! Destroy! 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 Company! Prosperity! Destroy! Company! Prosperity! Destroy! Company! Destroy! Destroy! Destroy Company! Prosperity! Destroy Company!
Oh man, I had a dream last night where I came Maltesers.
Oh wow. Like just the ordinary malt ones, because there's honeycomb ones and strawberry ones and such now, or you're not sure?
Oh, I think it was just regular.
Regular Maltesers.
I mean, that's enough really, isn't it?
I'd be happy with that. That would be amazing. Yeah.
It seems like it would hurt. I wasn't hurting in the dream, but like I imagine in real life.
Well, yeah, if you imagine the diameter of your urethra and the diameter of a Malteser, but you know, gosh, you'd be pleasing whoever you were doing that to, Ross Purdy. Of course, was there anyone else involved? Possibly not.
No. It wasn't sexual, besides the fact it was cum.
Okay, wow. Well, as the mother of three young men, you know, I'd much rather find socks full of Maltesers under their bed than, yeah, so I think, yeah, if you can make that happen in real life, that would be amazing. Your mum would be happy too.
I mean, sure, it saved the company money, but it would really hurt.
Well, yeah, so but art is pain, Ross Purdy.
It's not even art, though. It's more commerce, isn't it?
Oh,
it's
well.
Capitalist.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, but no, I really like the idea of this. I think you should work on it.
Mic's on. Okay, welcome, listeners. We are doing podcast. I am host Ross, and I'm here with comedian?
Nikki Barry.
You're a comedian, would you say that? Or
I try to be, yes.
Inspiring titan.
Okay, I'll go with that
comedian
too. Comedian
yeah, slash good. Inspiring titan.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. That's good, yeah.
Because... I'll give you that for free.
Okay, thanks. I'll take that
great,
for free too.
Great marketing.
Thank you.
Great marketing. You do the comedies. You've been doing it for a while now, like, I don't know, 2 months at least.
Oh, yeah, at least
as 2 months.
As far
as I know.
Yeah. I've been doing it for a while. I think it's about 6 years now, Ross.
Oh, and it's like, how many two-month intervals is that?
Oh, too fucking many.
I have to do my division. Oh, yeah. I was never good at maths.
No, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It says here in my notes, you're also part of The Handmaid's Tale.
The Joke Maid's Tale, yes. The Joke Maid's Tale was the show Kaylee Christian and I wrote just so that we could ride that sweet commercial wave of The Handmaid's Tale. But, I mean, we committed quite a bit, although I still have all my fingers. So, yeah, you know, but maybe that's season two. We come back for next year's festival and remove some digits.
Was that part of the joke? That you still had your fingers?
No, actually, we didn't include that in the show, but thank you. Must write that in for next
time. I'm giving you all the hot tips. Inspiring Titan, fingers.
Yeah. No, I like that. No, we did wear enormous pink strap-ons in our show, so we...
Was that in Handmaid's Tale?
No, we just sort of improvised that, but, you know, made it fun.
So how... What percentage of joke was it compared to how much percentage of Maid's Tale was it?
Oh, well, it was sort of, I guess, well, we had the costumes. So we had the capes and the bonnets, which instantly make you feel like a handmaid, I guess. And we did use a number of, you know, comedic references to bits of the show, and we did refer to the men who run comedy as commanders and a few other things like that.
Sure.
I know, we all know who they are. But aside from that, it was kind of a bit of a femo rant, I guess, about the state of, you know, being a woman and trying to make it in comedy.
Interesting.
But with strap-ons.
With strap-ons, right.
Yeah.
Because that's the biggest statement, I think.
The strap-on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd only pay attention to me if I had one of these, but for real.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. We actually, the reason we had the strap-ons in the show, Ross, was because we came to the point where we said, what else can we do as women to make it in comedy? We're just going to have to grow dicks. So we actually made them pop out of our capes during the show. Amazing, like so technical. And then we did really bad dick jokes with our dicks out. Mm.
In my comedy fest show, I got an audience member to hit me in the face with a dildo.
Yeah, I heard about that. I mean, wow.
Look, unless you hit each other with the dildos, I don't know, you're not really hitting it the next level like I am.
No, we did have a little sort of joust with them.
Right.
Like she right. and I, and we did actually, because we also had quoits that we gave to the audience to throw onto them, and then we passed a quoit from my strap-on to Kaylee's strap-on and back again. That was pretty cool.
I don't know.
So we touched the tips.
Strap-on jousting, quoits. It's pretty hot to me, Nikki.
Yeah, it was. But geez, it was fun. Mm-hmm. And we can tax deduct the strap-ons because we use them for a show, so, you know.
Mm. You really want to bother the taxation office with that?
I do, actually. Yes, yes, I do.
Sure, comedy show.
Yeah, comedy show, yeah. But now they're at home for personal use.
So, Handmaid's Tale people, they didn't get back to you? The lawyers didn't get on your butt?
No, I don't think we made it onto their radar. I think they're probably busy counting their money, you know, but... Who knows? We might get a call any day.
Well, next time. Go for Game of Thrones. They are litigious as fuck.
I'm going to confess something to you now, Ross Purdy. I have never watched Game of Thrones, and I have no intention of watching it ever.
Oh, neither do I. But like,
there's the two of us.
Yeah, but you can do like, I wanted to do a thing called Lame of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, hey. If you were like Game of Thrones, more like Lame of Thrones, you all nerds.
What about Fame of Thrones? Have you seen the movie Fame from the 80s about all the kids that go to the art school in New York? You could marry that with Game of Thrones. Oh, imagine that. Hmm. Oh, what a feeling.
Hmm. I want to live forever. Bang. I just got in a stab with a sword.
Yeah. Imagine, I want to fuck my sister. Da, 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 da.
I think that hits too close to real Hollywood issues.
Oh, okay.
Hollywood people fucking each other's sisters.
Oh. Yeah, maybe the litigation will come in there. I don't know. Although they would, I don't know. Let's workshop that, though. I reckon it could have legs. Lame of Thrones, Fame of Thrones. Mm.
But my whole point with Lame of Thrones is just calling the audience nerds. For 50 minutes.
Yeah.
You came here because you like Game of Thrones? You a nerd. Oh, and then everyone leaves, asks for their money back, and I get bad reviews. So kind of the same as usual.
Yeah, but I was about to say.
But it's about Game of Thrones.
More people will read the bad review, and that's the point, Ross. Yeah, I think you're onto something here.
They'll misread Game of Thrones as Game of Thrones. So they're like, they're putting on a Game of Thrones during the comedy festival. Actually, it wasn't a comedy.
Someone's probably doing it for Fringe, though. You know, people do all that weird shit at Fringe. That's why. Fringe is for weird. Yeah.
Fringe. More like binge. Watch the Game of Thrones in order to write the show.
Yeah. People do that. They do Harry Potter shit and whatever. Ugh. Anyway.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, nah.
Harry Potter. Aren't we over that?
Well, I think that we are. I was never into it, so I don't know.
Harry Potter, didn't he fuck that horse on stage?
Yeah, something like that.
He fucked a horse.
Yeah.
Ron and Hermione just watched the whole time. I feel bad for the horse.
I feel bad for the horse,
too. It was Mr. Ed, too. I mean, he fell on some hard times.
Wow. It's what you've got to do when you're an aging, you know, former TV celebrity. Now you just got to...
Now, that horse should be dead. That show was from like
Well, he
50s.
Probably was. So the dude fucked a dead horse.
I mean, they've just rubbed peanut butter all over the horse to make it seem like it was still alive.
Yeah. Well, maybe. But was Mr. Ed? I thought Mr. Ed was cremated. Actually, that would have made recreating the scenes even harder.
Like, wow. Harry really Potter stuck his dick in a burnt like it was. Yeah.
Yeah, an urn full of ash. Or maybe they got Farlap from Melbourne Museum and just painted him white. And I don't know.
Oh, you can't just do that.
Our Farlap, you know.
You can't just take a horse, paint it, say it's another horse.
Or maybe it was the white horse off. There's a white horse outside a paint shop on Nicholson Street, East Brunswick. Have you ever seen that, Rod? I've always wanted to pinch that horse. Anyway, maybe it was that horse.
This makes me so angry. I want to yell. It's going to make my voice hoarse.
Go ahead. Scream it out.
Why is Harry Potter
fucking a horse?
Fucking a horse.
Well, a horse is a horse, of course, of course.
He's got all them powers.
He does, yeah.
Why is he doing this?
Just wanted to get his wand out one more time.
But they make a human or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I
don't know. What do you want? I don't know.
I think he's just missed out on the human. What ended up happening to Harry Potter when he became an adult? I haven't followed the story. I know that he had the hots for Hermione at one point, but didn't she pash Ron Weasel?
Ugh, Ron Weasel.
I think she pashed
Ron Weasel. I am Ron Weasel. The worst character ever.
Yeah, I think she pashed him, didn't she? I don't know. The listeners will know.
And she caught, you know, gingivitis from it.
Oh, my God, it's Sunday and we're making all the dad jokes.
I am a dad now.
Oh, are you?
I am a dad.
Oh, does the child look like Maltesers or what's the...
Oh, that was off mic topic, Nikki. I'd rather not bring the off mic to on mic.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's in my little plant.
Okay.
It's my little plant.
Okay. You're a dad now.
Keep it in the corner. I like to think of myself as a dad, like a little plant daddy.
Okay. Yeah. It's great. How's it going? How's fatherhood treating you?
I killed the plant. Yeah. Not enough sunlight.
Yeah, no, that happened to me with a couple of my kids. Look, you lose a few along the way.
Exactly.
It's fine.
Just because you end up killing your child doesn't mean you can stop calling yourself a mum or a dad.
No, well, see, the ones that don't survive because you forgot to water them, they're just not resilient enough. That's what it is. See, that's the same as my children. So, yeah, when you get one that you can neglect and it just continues to grow... That's the one you want.
That's
anyway.
When you know you've got a keeper.
That's right. That's the one you want.
You know, I'm just trying to give this plant some life skills. Didn't work out.
Yeah, didn't work out. Next plant. That's
next
right.
Plant.
There's always another one.
Always another one. Well, at least from the plant store.
Yeah. Or you can just dig one up from someone else's garden if you want. You don't even have to pay for one.
I did do that once, but instead I got a baby out.
Yeah. How did that work out? Not resilient?
I didn't water it properly.
Yeah.
No sunlight.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. Yeah, some kids are very demanding.
Yes.
They want way too many things.
They're the kids.
Water and sunlight.
So, Nikki.
Yes?
You as comedian...
Let me just
go back to the first time I remember seeing you up on stage.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, there should be a reminiscing. Is there little reminiscing things going on?
Oh, I'm going to edit that in later.
Okay, lovely.
It's going to be good. I remember the MC was announcing this person, Nikki, was going to go up on stage. And I'm just like, Nikki? What? Who's this? Is this going to be like little Nikki? Something. As Adam Sandler going to come up on stage, being character as that famous character, Little Nicky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, well, that's going to divide the room. Some people like Adam Sandler movies. I mean, he still has a career. And other people have taste. So how's this going to work out? Either way, I'm a comedian, so if it goes badly, I'll be up in the back with my popcorn going, oh, it's a train wreck. Please, it's not me. But instead, you came up and you were so funny. You were doing all the bits and the gags.
Thank you.
And the gags and not like Adam Sandler at all.
No, I've never modelled myself on Adam Sandler, I must say.
No, you should.
No, thank you.
No, you shouldn't. Oh, man, just thinking back to all those great bits and gags. Oh, remember that? Do you still do that bit where you talk about getting your, like, hand super glued to a HDTV?
Haven't done that bit for a while, actually. But I should bring it back, hey?
You should bring it back. That kills.
It kills.
It kills.
Kills, yeah.
You said it and it literally killed someone.
Yeah, because, you know, like, yeah, when you go to move with the TV on your hand, yeah, that's
Because you brought it up on stage with me. Like, this is something that happened to me on the way to the gig.
I did. Had to commit to that for ages. Yeah. You know? Also, I had to learn to masturbate with my other hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
Oh. And you're a righty, not a lefty, so that didn't work out.
No, not at all. Yeah. No, it's been disappointed since... By the way, can I put my arm down now? Because it's getting tired with the telly on it.
You still have it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't do the bit anymore, considering you still have the HDTV super glue.
Oh, yeah, I know. But you know what it's like, Russ? As an artist, you've got to diversify, right? You just don't want to be known as the HDTV stuck on the hand comic. You got to,
you got to branch out.
Got to branch out a bit.
You know, you do like one, two jokes a day.
I know, you know, I really, you know, I need to do more whimsy. Like, I love, you know, whimsy's just, whimsy, you know.
Like getting your hand super glued to a clown or something?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty whimsical.
Yeah. One that went to Gautier, like, you know, not I learned to be a clown in Australia.
Yeah.
One that actually committed to the whimsy and went to Paris.
Went to France.
Did the thing.
They taught you super glue yourself to a clown.
Yeah.
That will engage with the audience and,
yeah.
You know, drag a bit out for 10 minutes when you really should go for two.
Yeah, that.
They'll bug their eyes out, like, I'm bugging my eyes out.
Oh, yeah, they're bugging the eyes
out.
And then I'm bugging them out a bit more. Ooh.
This is an audio medium, but we are bugging our eyes out right now. It is a strain.
It is indeed. Yeah. But, you know, obviously that's my aim with comedy. It's to just bug my eyes out.
Well, you did say art is pain.
Art is pain. Sometimes pain for the audience more than pain for the artist. This is true. You know, I remember the first time I saw you do comedy too, Ross Purdy.
Let's not get into this. Okay. I'm cringing. Oh, no,
it was a transformative experience for me. I think I'd done about 3 or 4 gigs and... we were both on the lineup at Remember Sugar Laughs, Ross Purdy?
Never once did they. I went to the bartender to say, hey, can I have a pack of sugar?
Yeah.
Like a giant pack. No sugar.
Yeah, no. It was an odd little place, but I remember you because in amongst other classic Ross Purdy things, you did Billy Joel, one of my favourite bits of yours, and you also had the loaf of bread. Remember when you had the loaf of bread?
I know. I had this loaf of bread with me for 4 years.
Yes. This was a few years in, I think, and I was like, wow, that is commitment to something. When you were chomping on that bread, I was like, oh, my goodness.
You know, it was because the bartender wouldn't give me the sugar pack.
Yeah, I understand that now. You know, like I would have wildly applauded except that I had a TV stuck to my hand.
Yeah. I'm like, this isn't comedy. This is just because the Sugar Lounge people, and I can call them out now because they're not even a thing anymore.
No, they're not a thing anymore.
They're stingy. It's called Sugar Lounge.
Yeah, no sugar.
It's all lounge, no sugar.
No sugar. I know we travelled a long way for no sugar.
It's in Toorak too. How come it didn't have sugar?
Oh, I don't know. They probably just had Coke, hey? We were asking for the wrong thing.
Do you think sugar was like a euphemism?
Oh, maybe
for cocaine?
Maybe it was, and we were just too, you know, lame to know.
Well, look, I don't want to go in the bathroom, do a whole bunch of Coke, get all hyped up, start yelling in people's faces about the self-help book I'm going to write.
I wanted
sugar.
Yeah, they should have just given us all sugar. That would have been good. We could have just mainlined sugar and just got up there and...
Just tie our arms off, just inject it.
Yeah.
Like heroin. Like mixing drug metaphors now.
Yeah. They missed an opportunity is all I can say. They missed an opportunity.
You know, speaking of Letitia,
mm-hmm.
I can't do the Billy Joel bit anymore.
Oh, right.
Because Billy Joel, himself, not his people... Billy Joel himself called me up.
Oh.
Here's what they don't tell you about Billy Joel.
Oh, I'm leaning in for this. Yep.
He doesn't talk to anyone. Like when he's like out there doing press and he's doing concerts or whatever, sure, he'll talk because he has to. But when he's off stage, he only communicates in piano keys.
Oh, wow. I guess he thinks he's a big shot, huh?
Yeah. And so he called me up and I had to decipher the piano notes.
Oh, that must have been difficult.
It was so hard, but ultimately it was something along the lines of, please stop doing this bit about me.
Really?
I don't know why he cares.
I think that's incredibly ungrateful of him. He should be grateful that you're, you know, spruiking his, like, his talent every time. Like,
well,
you know, I think you really give him a big rap in that bit.
I know. But I think the general vibe of the of his what you're saying was, you're actually doing more harm to my image than good. This all I had to work out, like what piano key each thing meant.
Look, that's incredibly vain of him. I don't think he understands that without you and Christy Brinkley, like, no one would have cared about him since the 80s, like, really. You know, he did his best work a long time ago.
Like, hey, Billy Joel, you fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
That song Only the Good Die Young. She doesn't want to have sex with you. Don't pressure her. That's what that song's about.
I know. It's creepy, isn't it? Lots of songs from that era are very creepy when you listen back to them. Ugh. Yeah. Anyway, Christy Brinkley moved on, you know, so you're all he's got left. He should be, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but then
should
I started.
Be more supportive.
I very briefly did a bit. I don't know if you ever saw it, where I was hyping up Christine Brinkley.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that
because
bit.
Because after this, it was like, Billy Joel was like, please stop doing this. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to do stuff about your ex now.
Yeah, the Uptown Girl.
Rub it in.
Yeah.
And then she called me up and said, please don't do this. You're doing more harm than good.
Really? She didn't appreciate you either. Oh, that's a bit.
And I'm like, hey, I'm just a shitty open mic comedian in Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah.
Why do you care?
Yeah. Oh, Christy, I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed.
I think it's that time of the show now for an ad read.
Okay, great.
Now, don't have any sponsors yet.
Oh, okay.
So, I would rather just leave a spot free. So, eventually, I could maybe put in an ad read.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I mean, surely companies are going to clamour to sponsor you. Surely Domino's Pizza, for a start, should be.
Do they sponsor podcasts?
Well, they should be sponsoring this one.
They should.
They really should.
They should, after all I've done for them.
They should. KFC, once again, they should be just they should do it all. Jumping on bed. Baker's Delight, Baker's after the bread, the loaf of bread, like 4 years from a loaf of bread, they should be jumping on too.
Hey, here's something to eat when you rejected sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
It should be their slogan.
It should be.
I did so much for them.
You did.
But I want to hit the podcasting bigwigs. I want to hit Squarespace.
Okay.
I want to hit MeUndies. I want to hit MeSpace. SquareUndies.
Yes, SquareUndies. Yes. Okay. Well, we'll just put it out there to all of them. I think that they need to jump on board and sponsor this podcast, like, hard.
I think I need to get ahead of the curve. Maybe we need to record ads now.
Okay, let's do that. All right.
And then they'll have no choice but to pay.
Yes.
Because
it's already there.
It's already there.
Just send them an invoice and see what happens.
Hey, I know you didn't ask for this, yeah. But I did it.
Yeah.
Like, two people listen to this show.
That's right.
That's
you
two
and
extra
me.
People.
That's right.
That know about your product.
That's right.
Okay. All right, Nikki. How much do you know about Squarespace?
Nothing, but that won't stop me from participating in the ad.
Oh, definitely, definitely not. Well, it's like a program you use to make websites.
Okay, right.
Which is very big nowadays. Yes. You ever heard of this internet?
Oh, yeah, look, my kids crap on about it a bit.
It's very youthful. It's a very young kid thing.
Yeah, I believe so. I prefer to just, you know, obviously leave a painting in a cave for my friends. You know, leave them, like I do a bit of a drawing, a few hieroglyphics, and then they come by sometime later and leave me one back. It's worked for us old people. That's how we do things.
That's efficient.
It is pretty efficient, yeah.
There's no vagueness about it either.
No, there's not. Oh, although some people don't draw as well as others, so sometimes there's a little ambiguity about the sticks, but overall it works pretty good.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes an orange looks like a pumpkin, and then you're like...
Yeah, and such, yeah. Stuff
smashing
like...
oranges?
Nah.
Never heard of that.
Nah, it's got to be the pumpkins.
Right.
But look, this internet thing sounds amazing. It sounds right. like it could take off.
Right, yeah. Al Gore invented it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it sounds like it could be a thing. Yeah.
You can't stop global warming, though.
No,
you can invent the internet, but...
Yeah. Maybe the internet can resolve global warming. Just keep bombarding it with emojis until it just cools the fuck down.
I think just starting a whole bunch of change.org petitions. That'll stop global warming.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
Just tweet a lot on Twitter.
Yeah, social activism. Yeah, like people tweeting stuff that really, yeah, like, huh, who knows, like, yeah, that could just fix everything.
I think enough hashtags will just make the sun cooler.
Yeah, or it'll just block it out. Like, if we're just bombarded with hashtags, we won't be able to see it anyway, so it won't matter.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. Okay. Actually, I'm going to draw hashtags all over myself as sunscreen. That's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
Just remember, I gave you that idea.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'll cut you in on the on the enormous amount of money I'm going to make from that. That's good.
Yes. Squarespace, right?
Right, Squarespace.
Okay. If you want a website, if you want to pay a whole bunch of money to make a website, but something you can do for free on GeoCities or something.
Yep.
Just pay the assholes. It's Squarespace.
Squarespace. That sounds like an idea. And what will they do for their consumers, Russ Purdy? Squarespace. Like, what do we get in return for our cashola?
Well, if you use Squarespace, you'll get all the tools.
Tools.
To make a website.
I've met tools who make websites. But I'll get all of them from there.
Get all the Greg.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Terry.
Massive tool.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-mm.
But tools are the best at making websites.
Tools are very good at making websites. This is true. And you know that they're good because they tell you that they're good at it a lot.
Like, even when they're clearly failing.
Yeah, well, you know, failure is in the eye of the... Anyway, they do like to tell you a lot that they're very good at it. Apart from that, they don't make eye contact or talk at all, which is fine.
No, that's fine, that's fine.
Yeah.
I maybe want to go back and do that Squarespace ad again because I think I was a bit aggressive saying arseholes at Squarespace. I don't know if they'll appreciate that.
No. Think of a nicer word.
Pay the cunt buckets at Squarespace. Oh, make you a website.
That's catchy.
Yes.
Now,
this is advertising 101. You think of some ideas. You don't go for the first one. You go for the second.
You just got to workshop it a little. Cunt buckets. Yeah, that's
catchy.
Snappy. It is.
It's snappy.
And they could have merch. Like, they could actually have little cunt buckets.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
see?
Right.
People love merch.
Right, exactly. Especially when companies tell them they want merch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't realize you need all that stuff until somebody tells you. Like, you know, now when you're at Coles buying groceries, you don't just need the groceries, you need the little plastic miniatures of the groceries. Have you heard about this crap? You know, they've stopped having plastic bags at supermarkets, but instead, if you spend enough money, they give you little plastic replicas of the groceries.
Thought of that idea, a bunch of cunt buckets. Oh, it's catching on.
Yada, yada, yada.
With ourselves. But
It's
where it starts.
It's where it starts, yeah. Hashtag that. Hashtag cunt buckets.
And that will help stop global warming.
It will.
And that's another campaign we can do an ad read for right now.
Okay, all right. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, you know how you keep kids? You know how you keep hashtagging things?
Yes, Ross.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Think you're going to help the environment?
Yeah.
Think you're going to help inequality?
Yeah.
You're not.
Well.
Hashtag cunt buckets. Tweet at the sun. Make it cooler.
Oh.
This is from Greenpeace.
Greenpeace? Are they still around?
Once they hear this hot take of an ad... They'll be back.
Oh, yeah, they'll be riding on your coattails. That's true. Yeah. Good old Greenpeace. Haven't caught up on them lately. I guess, you know, they're out doing stuff.
For peace.
Ugh. Ugh, peace.
Oh, I'm so bored.
Lame hippies.
So bored.
Yeah,
if I wanted peace, I wouldn't become a comedian.
Exactly.
Going to bars each night, drinking away the sorrows.
Oh.
Yelling at people who aren't paying attention to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, why aren't you laughing at this thing? You have a different subjective take on comedy than I do? Fuck you.
Yeah, I always love it when comedians get cranky at the audience for not laughing. I love that.
It's a great way to get the laughs going.
It really is. It really warms the room up. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like, you make the audience uncomfortable, and that's when they start laughing. You know, people say, like, you got to make them comfortable. You got to make them, you know, feel at ease. I think you make their buttholes clench. And because all the laughs come from the butt, right? So when it clenches, it has no choice but to come up through the mouth.
Come up through the mouth. Oh, that's a very astute observation, Russ Purdy. Mm, yes. No, well, you don't want them to be complacent, do you?
No.
Because that's what happens. No. They just kind of nod off a bit. You've got to make them scared.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same as parenting. You've got to make them scared.
Put the fear
then they
of
respond.
God.
That's right. Yeah. Hmm. I love a good comedy war. Comedy wars are good.
Is there like a Star War? Oh. Is George Lucas going to keep just adding stuff into Comedy Wars DVDs, piss off the fans?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about Star Wars? Are you into Star Wars, Ross? Are you?
Oh, I've never seen a Star War in my life.
No? Not seen a Star War?
Nah.
Oh. Because Star Wars is, you know, like, I'm so old that I was like 12 when the first film came out, and that was our end of year excursion for grade 6, was going to the cinema to see Star Wars, which at the time was just amazing. Those opening credits, we were drawn in. It's like, what the fuck's going on, you know? And then Leia with the bagels on her head R2-D2 and C-3PO were like, oh, this is all too much. But, you know, it's a bit sad what's happened to it along the way.
I did think once I saw the one where Natalie Portman's like a princess.
Yeah.
I thought it was, but then she started going on about how the Shins will change your life, and it turned out I was watching Garden State.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's easy. It would be easy to get those two confused.
I thought Zach Braff was the new Luke.
Right.
Okay, I thought he's got all the Scrubs hype.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
make him the new Luke Skywalker.
And it probably would have worked if they'd done that, quite frankly. He could have carried that off. More or less.
Maybe. I mean, who cares?
Who really cares anyway?
It's a stupid film series for kids. It's for kids. That's why they make all those toys.
Oh, but the toys are fun. Do you know, at my place, we have the Lego Death Star and the Lego Millennium Falcon. Like, you know, whew.
But which brand do you have allegiance to? Star Wars or the Lego?
I love Lego a lot more than I love Star Wars.
Exactly. Yeah. Legos is better.
Oh, way better.
It's for everyone.
It really is, you know.
Star Wars, just for a bunch of goddamn motherfucking nerd.
Cunt buckets.
We did it. And we did it 3 times too, which really is the magic comedy number.
It is the rule of three. Yes, there it is. Boof.
I hope we get some money from Lego for that.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the phone to ring. Should we just put out our number?
We should just do an ad read for it right now.
We should.
Hey.
Hey.
Idiots.
Yeah.
You're listening.
Yeah.
If you hate Star Wars,
yep,
you're probably going to love Legos instead.
Yeah, Lego is good. It covers many franchises.
Is that all of them?
Yeah, pretty much all of them. Yeah. Is there games of... There's not Game of Thrones Lego yet, is there? There probably is. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I keep calling them up to do Lame of Thrones.
Lame of Thrones Lego would be good. Yes, Fame of Thrones Lego would also be good. Little dancing figures, little stage, cars for them to dance on in the street. Anyway, that could work.
Then they said it was just too similar to Fame. Then we might as well just do Fame. What the hell's Fame of Thrones?
Fame of Thrones is where the Game of Thrones people go to an art school in New York.
Are the dragons going to be on top of these cars doing the song?
Sure, why not? It's we're inclusive these days. Once upon a time, dragons were excluded from art schools in New York, but now I'm sure they would be included.
They wouldn't even fit.
Well, they just have to make them fit, you know. Accessibility in modern buildings is important. They would just have to make the doors bigger.
For goddamn dragons?
Yeah, why not? Oh, they're good for flame effects.
I mean, I guess it's cheaper than having to buy, like, pyrotechnics.
Yeah, just...
Use dragon labour.
Yeah, dragon labour. Great.
Well, that's not equality. That's exploiting dragons.
Oh, but don't they like breathing fire?
Well, don't like the way they make them breathe fire. These Hollywood bigwigs.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. They're
just
cattle prods. They breathe fire.
Oh, okay.
We need something behind Vin Diesel.
Oh, yes. He'd be loving the dragons. Okay. Well, look, still, I think there's scope for it. They just need to workshop it a bit. Find out. Spielberg could do something with it. Spielberg could work
he
it
could,
out.
But does he even want to work anymore?
I don't know. What's he doing these days?
He's doing nothing.
Oh, yeah, I guess he doesn't really need to work that hard, hey?
No.
No. Imagine if he got paid in beers like we do for our art. He'd have lots of beers.
Now, you did Schindler's List. Just get drunk. Get pissed. Get all the beers.
Yeah, have an extra pint, mate. That was pretty good.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, we'll book you back. Yeah.
Oh, that movie you did recently with Tom Hanks and he's like a postman or something. Post?
Yeah.
No one watched that.
Nah.
Maybe like half a beer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. No, not even. Maybe, you know, just, yeah, ask for another spot, Stephen, and we'll just ignore your message.
Right.
Maybe that's where he is now. Maybe he's back on the open film circuit, just, you know, trying out new bits.
Seems like a lot of effort to just make a little film, bring it along to a shitty bar, show it to a bunch of drunks.
Yeah, who are all just talking on their phones, the other filmmakers down the back rolling their eyes, going, oh, this guy was never that good. Could be like that.
And then, like, some guy comes along, he does well with some left-of-center thing, and then someone goes, I guess this is just an experimental horror crowd.
Yes, exactly.
I can't do anything with this indie rom-com I have.
Yeah, it's how it goes sometimes, isn't it? Indie rom-com comedy. Rom-com comedy. Rom-com comedy. Sorry, I'm just going to say that for a long time now.
Rom-com
comedy.
What you're really saying, though, is romantic comedy comedy.
Yeah.
Are you saying rom-coms are so funny that they need to...
No, I do not. I am really not into rom-coms.
But rom-com comedy.
Rom-com comedy. Yeah. Rom-com comedy. Rom-com comedy. Rom-com comedy. I reckon that's got some legs. Yeah.
It's got goddamn legs.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's hard to believe that comedians can ever really be romantic because we are comedians. We know comedians. And
they are fugly.
Oh,
they are dogs.
Woof, woof. On the inside and the outside. Oh. Like it's one thing to look at our exteriors and go, but then when you get to know our interiors, you're just like, no.
Oh, no. Your interiors are like a dog too.
And if two of them got together and made baby comedians, like, oh, with like two sets of fucked up comedian genes, like biggest cunt buckets on the planet. Oh. Just like, oh.
Oh, you said it four times. You ruined a rhythm.
Oh, no, I just wanted to, you know, reference your great work earlier.
Right.
Sorry, that was just a tribute.
Okay, I guess we can get away with it if it's just a tribute.
It's just a tribute.
It's just a tribute. What's this shit about comedians dating other comedians? My life's shit and broken. I'm going to go and make someone else's life shit and broken. But their life is always already shit and broken because they have the same sort of life I do.
Well, I think the most difficult thing about it would be that when you inevitably break up, it's like who writes the bit first, right? Because, like, okay, so you've been together, you've busted up, you're miserable, you hate each other, your life is imploding. So the only thing to do with that logistically is to turn it into comedy, right? I mean, you could deal with the feelings, but let's not do that. Let's turn it into comedy, right? So the competition would be rife about which half of the relationship or which third of the thruple, because comedy thruples, we haven't even got – have we gone there yet? We should go there. But whoever makes it first out with the bit wins, right? I would think.
Look. There's no rules for this sort of thing.
No.
Let's make the rules for that.
Yeah, I think there should be – somebody should just start running a night where it's that. You have to have broken up with someone else on the lineup to be on. I would watch the shit out of that.
But what if, like, someone comes up, they do a bit about their partner. They always farted in the bed. But then the partner comes up and says, I have a bit about my partner farting in the bed. And they think they both farted in the bed.
Well, everybody farts in bed. Like, so...
So not only are they just arguing that they both did the same thing, it's tacky. Because everyone farts in the bed.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. But surely somebody would have an incredibly original spin on farting in the bed.
I guess it's all about...
It's all about the writing and the delivery. Like someone would be able to carry it off. I suppose we can't go naming people who would carry off a farting in bed bit, but we can think about them.
Right.
Maybe that's
Gilbert Godfrey. My ex-partner.
Yeah. Blah,
blah, blah. She farted in a bed.
Yeah, see, that's working already. Yeah.
And that wasn't even Gilbert Godfrey.
No,
I know. That was me just doing a voice.
Yeah, I know, but oh my goodness. Gilbert Godfrey better start panicking like that. Whoa.
I'm on your tail, Godfrey. Anyone can do that voice.
That's right, yeah. And butt in a bed.
Yep.
That's it. You've got it all.
You're done.
You got it all stitched up.
Got goddamn nothing. So, Nikki. I know this is meant to be an interview show, and I feel like I've only asked two questions.
Okay,
but those have been great questions, haven't they?
They have been brilliant questions.
We've gotten some great answers.
Oh, wow, yeah.
What do you think you've learned on your comedy journey?
Oh, walk softly and carry a big stick.
Right, but that's just great life advice.
Oh, but I think it's particularly true of comedy, you know? Like, you know, I kind of thought that when I started doing comedy that all of the people who were doing it because they liked doing it. I'm sorry, it sounds so naive now. And I also thought that, you know, we're all kind of in this together, so we'll all kind of be a bit supportive of each other. And
we're not.
Inclusive.
We're not.
I know, newsflash. Yeah, so I found that all very interesting because I was never one of the popular kids when I was at school, and I kind of thought when I started doing comedy, we're all doing comedy because none of us were the popular kids at school. And then I realised that within comedy, there's the popular kids at the school, yeah? Anyway, yes, I kind of assumed that people would get ahead based on their comedic merit.
What's merit?
Oh.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah, no, clearly it doesn't. No. Yeah, so that's what I've learned, I think. I reckon that's what I've learned. Yeah.
That shit's bad everywhere?
Yeah, that shit's bad everywhere.
High school never ends?
High school truly never ends. We are stuck in it for life. Yeah, and I think the comedy industry, as I see it, is a very... yeah, it is a high school. Like, it truly is a high school, yeah. And I'm still, you know, yeah, not one of the popular kids. But that's okay, you know. Because we get the best parts in the movies that they make about high school, you know.
What, the underdog?
Well, you know, I'm thinking more stuff like The Breakfast Club, which I know you've seen The Breakfast
Club,
sure.
I've seen The Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Like, yeah, there's some great movies came out when I was a young person about the the high school thing and continued to be some good ones afterwards. But, you know, aside from Porky's, that was fucked. But anyway, oh, Porky's.
Whoa.
Although, what a franchise.
What a franchise.
They made quite a few of those, I think, in the end.
Hmm.
Mm. The first one of those that I ever saw, I saw because my nana took me to see it. Because the country town in Queensland she was living in got a drive-in. And we went up there for holidays. I think I was about maybe 14, 15 years old, which means that my younger brother would have been about like 12, 13. And Nan said, I'm going to take us out to the drive-in. There's a movie on all the kids are seeing that's supposed to be really good.
Look.
Wow.
Look, Nicky. This film's called Porky's. It's probably about Porky Pig.
Yeah, I think that's what she was thinking. Anyway, it was...
What's a teen sex comedy? Whoa.
It was a fun time anyway. And then, you know, like we got to go back to... Because it was R-rated. We got to, you know, go back to Melbourne after the holidays and be the cool kid at school for a moment because you'd got to see Porky's. Just left out the bit about seeing it with your nan because... kind of watered down your coolness, you know.
Mm. That's all it took. See some shitty.
Look, I went to a Catholic, like fancy Catholic girls' school. Like it didn't take much to, you know, like nothing. There weren't any real rebels there, you know. Like you wore nail polish, you were cool. Yeah. Like that was, yeah.
Yeah, easily impressed, Ben.
Yeah, pretty easily impressed. Yeah, you know, you got fingered at the basketball court. Oof, you know, instant fame.
Did Billy Joel ever come by and try and pressure Catholic girls into giving their virginity? Because that's what he fucking does.
Yeah.
What song is this? It's creepy.
Yeah, no, I don't remember Billy Joel ever coming to school. We did have the uncanny X-Men who Google them later, younger listeners. So the bass player from the uncanny X-Men who were like a well-known pub band back in the day, the bass player's mum was our year 11 coordinator, so they came to play at our school social tour. That was next level. You've got to see Brian Mannix in action to appreciate
I mean
that.
Their career's peaked at that point.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That was their Woodstock.
It pretty much was, yeah. Oh, you know, they did play some they played the Meyer Music Bowl, so that was pretty huge. Concerts at the Music Bowl used to be great, Russ Purdy, because you could just take as much booze as you could physically carry into them.
I can only carry one.
Oh no, it's amazing how, you know, you and your mates can lug a 100-litre esky if you really need to into one of those places and just set up camp for the day and just, you know, go nuts. Maybe do some sugar as well, you know, like really.
That's if the bartenders aren't stingy.
Oh, no, well, there was no RSA when I was a young person. So
yeah.
It was a sweet time.
It was more like a Wild West back then, you know. It was unchecked.
It was.
They were just giving it out.
People were just, yeah, it was a different time. Different time. Then people, you know, we got AIDS and hex fees and people started getting serious about life.
Especially the hex.
Oh, fuck yes. Yeah, I protested the hex.
Right. I mean, Ronald Reagan wouldn't even admit that hex was a problem.
No, he was busy doing other things.
Tom Hanks had that famous movie where he had all those hex.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think he won an Oscar for that
one,
didn't
he? He won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks had another famous movie where his mother had all those hex.
Yes.
Sally Field, yeah.
Yeah, obviously he was, passionate about hex.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Well, I'll tell you what I've learned in my comedy journey.
Yes, do. I'm excited to hear this.
Right. You can't go to a Kmart, bang on the counter, say, hey, you know who I am? I did a 5-minute set at a shitty bar at 11 p.m. on Wednesday night. I want the jeans for free.
Oh, wow, yes.
And I did that at least 7 times.
And they wouldn't give you free jeans.
No, yeah.
Oh, curse you, Kmart.
That was terrible.
I don't think we're accepting sponsorship from them for this podcast.
Well, luckily, Kmart does not sponsor podcasts.
Oh, they don't?
I don't think they do.
Oh, maybe they could at least give you some jeans for the podcast.
At least.
At least.
At least. I have a podcast now.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, I mean, I guess you're in a unique position too, being the only person in comedy that's doing a podcast.
Exactly.
Like, no Who one else has thought of it. No Who one else? At all.
This is clearly the year 2008. No one else has a podcast yet.
No, they don't. They don't. And if they do start doing a podcast, it's going to be like, you know, really like well thought out and like carefully scripted with lots of, like, there's not going to be improv shit and crap like that. And they're not just going to get into a recording studio on a Sunday with their mates and talk shit.
Right. Like, yeah. Who wants to hear that? I want to hear murder stories.
Yeah.
Make me feel uncomfortable with the state of humanity.
Yeah.
Make me hear true crime podcasts, and then all I think about is true crime, and now I wonder why I think there's so much true crime, because I listen to true crime podcasts all the time.
Or maybe there could be one where comedians talk about their feelings.
Right.
You know, and get all, like, sort of new agey, self-help stuff.
Just make it weird, so to speak.
Yeah,
you know? Make
it
weird.
Comedians running a self-help podcast thing. Oh, that would be amazing. Imagine listening to that. Wow.
Well.
Okay,
that could be this podcast.
All right, okay. Tell me about your feelings, Ross. No.
All right. I only believe in one God, and that's cash money.
Cash money.
It's a vengeful God and wants nothing to do with me. I hold out.
Clearly. Yeah. You just haven't self-flagellated enough for it yet.
No.
Because religion is pain too. Like, art is pain, but religion is more pain.
Well, religion is a lot like art in that it's made up. Bam! Hashtag atheist.
Yada yada yada.
What do you think Ricky Gervais thinks of religion? Think he's a fan?
No, I kind of glean that he's not. I mean, not that he's ever, you know, overtly said so. Yeah. It's just a little vibe I get. You know, it's the way he tilts his head a little bit sometimes. Yeah. I go, yeah, no, I don't reckon he's a fan. Yeah.
Oh, I'm Ricky Gervais. I may be office. Oh, PC police. That's Ricky.
Yes, I recognise his work. That was lovely.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. That was pretty much it. Yeah. What's he doing now? Well, he worships the great god money, though.
Right.
Well, he's got lots of it.
He believes in some gods.
He does.
The god of money, baby.
The god of money, baby. He's a big fan. He's right up there in the cult.
We're reaching the end of the show now.
Oh, no. Yeah. I feel like we're just getting started.
We're just getting warmed up. We were just trashing Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, because that's going to work well for us in comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking of just, like, tagging him in this post when I upload this on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, do.
He loves it when people shit talk him.
I'm sure his people will be, in touch. Like, that's good. Yeah.
What have you learnt in this journey today?
In this journey today, what have I learnt? Oh, look, I think I've just been reminded of how much I like working with you, Ross Purdy. That's what I've really, like, taken from today, I think. And also, I guess the other thing I've taken from today is, you know, like, so where we're recording today outside, like, the glamour. You know, I've just been reminded of how much glamour there is in this industry, like this facility itself, but also outside. Like, did you just see that beautiful pile of rubbish that's just on the footpath outside? Like, somebody's house just had a bit of a vomit and chucked up all the stuff that didn't agree with it anymore and it's just been rained on for a few days and stuff, and it's just all sort of stinking and festering outside on the footpath in the sun today.
Yeah, I was there when the house vomited.
Yeah, I think this is like a metaphor for life. I think, it's what I'm taking from today.
The house drank too much.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? Like, it's Saturday night, you know.
Right. House has got a drink.
House has got a drink, doesn't want to deal with its feelings. It's alone again, you know. Yet another relationship didn't work out. you know, no agents are calling. No.
I don't even have, doesn't even have an agent.
No posties left anything in its letterbox for ages. No. I know how that feels.
Just wants a mail in its post.
Yeah, just to
feel something.
Even again. A catalogue. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, no.
Some junk mail even.
Well, you can't have junk mail in Brunswick.
No.
No. It's un-PC.
And Ricky Gervais is going to rail against it.
He is. He's going to walk around and do catalogue deliveries.
PC police. Yeah. I'm just going to hand it out everywhere.
Just shove it in. Yeah.
Got anything to plug?
What should I plug? No, I'm not doing anything for Fringe. I'll be around for... I'm doing the... festival at Fringe at the Edge of the World in Tassie in January. So, you know, everybody from everywhere in Australia should just get on a plane, a boat, a jet ski with lots of fuel and head to Hobart in January to see me do a show called Runcible and another show with Lucy Best called Motherfucked. You cunt buckets, get on board.
Call it cunt buckets. Now that's advertising.
Oh, yeah. Although maybe that's the show we should write together.
Right.
Ross Birdie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. Can't take that from us.
What about you? You got any? You've got a show coming up.
I got a show at Vertote.
That's going to be off the charts.
Bringing back my Comedy Fest show.
So good.
It's going to be insane.
It is going to be insane. Are there still tickets or are they all sold already?
Oh,
there's
man.
Still just a few left?
There might be some.
Yeah.
There might be some.
I think the listeners need to jump right on that now.
Right. September 24th. It's at Vertote.
Lovely.
It's a famous venue.
Oh, yes. Very famous venue.
Famous, great venue. Kentucky Fried God Murder. It's the show.
Oh, yeah. See it.
See it.
See it.
Believe it.
Yes.
You cunt buckets.
Prosperity, that's the governor.